Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello again. I'm James Whelan, Managing Director of the Barclay Pearce Capital's Wealth Management Team, and you are joining us for the Hydrogen Scope, in which we're going to take some of the recent popularity and recent demand from clients, peers, and colleagues and do a little bit of an analysis on it. Today, it's all about hydrogen. I am joined here by, out of our London office, Jack Colreevy. Jack, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Not bad. Now, someone who's slightly more of an expert than I am and at these bits and pieces, you're our due diligence person when it comes to these sorts of things. I'm more just sort of the talking head in the face of things without actually knowing any detail.
But you do it so well.
You're the detail guy. Yeah, that's right. So I've got these fake glasses that I have just to make me seem a lot smarter than they are, as you can see. So
BlackRock doesn't sponsor this podcast?
BlackRock doesn't sponsor this podcast at all.
Barclay Pearce Capital does.
Barclay Pearce Capital's wealth management team, bringing you all the information. Now, I've put out a couple of notes on hydrogen recently. I had one that went out a couple of days ago. I did one on Monday as well. We've had huge feedback and huge flow through and call outs for how to be invested, what we can do about it, where the trend is changing, what's going on. We thought that we'd just do this as a service to people to answer a few of these questions that we've got right now. Now, without going into the detail of how a hydrogen fuel cell works, we'll go with assumed knowledge that you know that it does work. It's not untested. It is in use.
There's plenty of content out there for people who want to learn more.
That's right. Yes. So, and we're not the scientists in this regard. So we can sort of talk to the idea and the trend of going through hydrogen. The big one that for me, which sort of opened my eyes recently, just with the fact that I am getting a lot of flow through my feed just naturally. But we all know that since our phones are listening to us, that could just be because we've been talking about hydrogen. Yeah. Next thing you know, you get a lot of hits on the phone.
Of course.
But we got our marketing fellow, Amit, to have a look at the Google search trends. 800% increase in the last 12 months on the search term hydrogen. 800%.
Yeah, that's big, and it's starting to pop up sort of again.
Do we have a bubble?
I don't think we have a bubble yet because it hasn't flown through to sort of pricing of deals and all that sort of stuff. But what's great to see is interest is starting to reemerge. Mm-hmm. If you may recall, It's only been a couple of years since hydrogen really first started gaining some traction. And I kind of likened it to lithium.
Yeah.
So back in about 2018, lithium absolutely spiked. I think it got up to about 16,000. And everyone was going on about electric cars, everything. And then boom, the price halved, massive sort of bear market in regards to that. And that's just because the industry got ahead of itself. Electric cars weren't there, and so it cooled off. But then, you know, last few years, lithium price has gone through the roof again.
Yeah.
With a lot more substance and momentum as a result of all the majors now having electric vehicles and huge demand for lithium.
So I remember that lithium thing happening back then. That the valuation of a lot of the mines, just like this, is actually it's unfeasible that they're never going to be able to make money pulling this lithium out of the ground or whatever it is that they need to do. Leaching or drying it as they do, depending on where it is. But and they were still getting bought. The stocks were still getting bought. Same sort of thing was happening with some of the hydrogen programs as well. Maybe it's still happening today, but it's okay. So let's just go into the hydrogen. So a quick history of the way that hydrogen has worked around the world. Again, we're not going back to the first hydrogen fuel cell invented by Grove. I believe it was called the Grove fuel cell in 1839. Just made that up. No idea. But a quick history of that. So Toyota, just from the relevant point in time in which, first off, it goes back to the 60s. It's used to power the parts of the spaceship, the space shuttle and the space shuttle program. Anyone who says that the space program was a waste of time, hydrogen came out of it, so it's pretty effective. Toyota, more relevantly, Toyota designed their fuel cell for it. And this is the thing that was amazed me and just sort of sums up humanity so well, that Toyota open sourced their fuel cell, the designs for their fuel cell. And instead of the world embracing that and saying, 'cause the reason why Toyota did that is so that they wouldn't be the only ones out there with only a few fuel cells that they had. You need engagement. You need you need take up.
I think Tesla's done something similar in terms of they very much open their supply chain to other vehicle manufacturers and things like that. Like you can buy a Tesla electric motor and create your own electric car. Mm.
So Toyota did it with their fuel cell. The rest of the car makers in the world decided not to take that direction, and for the last few years have been taking the direction towards the EV, towards the battery-powered vehicles. Heavy, difficult to mine, I'm going to say expensive, dangerous a little bit as well. You know, that obviously I'm not a big battery guy. I'm more of a hydrogen person, as you know. So they did not get the take-up for that. There was only, I believe, 50 fuel refueling stations in California and only a few cars on the road, and I think they're actually going to get closed down.
They're starting to see a bit of a reversal there. So
passenger versus commercial is where I'm going here.
Yeah, I mean, it's horses for courses. There are various uses for hydrogen. I think it's important to touch on the fact that it's quite a versatile molecule. It can be used in so many different sort of applications, and that's one of the problems with the industry, people getting torn in sort of different directions, different investment dollars are getting spread too thinly. I think there needs to be a more concentrated effort into, well, where are the best solutions for hydrogen?
Mm.
And I think as a transport fuel source is probably one of the best.
So buses and commercial vehicles?
Well, I mean across the board, but I definitely see it as more of a commercial fuel.
Yep.
In the short term,
yep.
At the very least, until pricing comes down. And the reason for that is the advantages that hydrogen brings over a battery.
Yeah.
So a hydrogen vehicle is a lot lighter, so it has higher towing capacity. It's able to be refilled in minutes, less than 5 minutes rather than
it's a five minute refueling. Yeah.
All those sorts of things, which are very important to commercial vehicle users who have a high utilization rate. Time is money. They can't afford to be down for hours a day sort of charging. So
yep.
I think that's definitely the low-hanging fruit there.
So I think it's always been the case that we think that passenger vehicles aren't going to go the hydrogen route because we've seen what happened, that they're going in the battery direction. But we've seen this news recently on the switch from car companies taking the electric route and taking the battery route and then making the switch to the hydrogen direction. BMW has just announced that it's going to be scrapping its battery powered vehicles and they're taking the hydrogen direction specifically, and they're going to be trial running that in South Africa. I'm amazed that that is just such a bold move from BMW.
Yeah.
To do it, does really say that. I mean, it's not like they're just guessing. It's BMW, right? One of the oldest and the tempered history, but still it's that they know what they're doing. They're not just making it up, and they've made the decision that they're going to be going down the hydrogen route.
Mm.
That's as
well. I mean, taking the other side of the argument there, one can argue that they were slow to the battery electric vehicle.
A lot of them were
trend.
Yeah.
All of them were.
Yep.
It's how Tesla exists in the first place.
Yeah.
So their track record of analysis in this space isn't the best.
Yeah.
Having said that, look, I think there is a dual solution here. It's all about, well, what works best for what regions. I think if you're driving short amount of distances.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And you have access to sort of a charging infrastructure through either you have a garage at home and you're able to park your car there, or you know, there's charging posts on the street, etc. You know, battery makes a lot of sense. And battery is probably the best solution for most passengers, because it is the most efficient means in terms of, well, if you take some electricity and you put it into a battery, you're getting about 95% of that electricity round trip. Now, the big sort of criticism of hydrogen as a fuel source is that currently green hydrogen made through an electrolyzer loses about 20% of the renewable energy when it goes through that electrolyzer, and then loses another roughly 20% when it goes through the fuel cell to create the electricity again.
So it's not as efficient.
Yeah. So you're looking at a 40-50% loss.
Okay.
Which isn't great.
I didn't know that.
yeah.
That's why we've got you here.
Yeah, no. Okay. But I will say that the technology is early stage. Mm-hmm. You will see, with continued investment in R&D, you will see increases in this efficiency over time, which will make those losses lessen. But it also, you know, there are advantages to this. I mean, you look at the aviation industry, you can't put the amount of batteries that it takes. You can't fly a plane with a battery. Not transatlantic flights and all this sort of stuff. Yeah.
So hydrogen
would be, you know, a key solution there. Yep. But I think it sort of takes us, that's a good segue to talk about, well, there are many ways to make hydrogen.
Yes. I was going to talk about, so let's go to this, and we'll go with the colors, because I think that we'll talk about the colors and reiterating what the colors are of the hydrogen as well. Well, you were talking. I'm going to stay out of the way.
Well, I mean, hydrogen's not new. We have an existing hydrogen economy. Generally, it's been used traditionally for fertilizer and for fracking, hydrofracking of oil fields and things like that. That hydrogen is made from natural gas and coal. And so there's fossil fuels associated with that. So that's generally gray hydrogen. If you do that process, but capture the carbon, which, you know, we won't go down the avenue of if that actually works or not, it's termed blue.
Yep.
But then if it's made using an electrolyzer, which is splitting water atoms, the oxygen and the hydrogen, that's what's termed green.
Okay.
Now, what sort of...
That's if it's using a renewable source.
That's, yes. And, yeah. And so, yes, that's an important point.
It's got to come out of the panels or something.
Solar, wind, hydro.
Hence the green color. Yeah. Yes.
There are other sort of more niche colors. Pink is when nuclear is used as a source.
I've not heard of that before.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I couldn't understand why you'd use nuclear power to create hydrogen, but it's there. But gold hydrogen is sort of...
No, this is my favorite.
I think this is what's spiking the interest.
So gold
at the moment.
Gold is out of the ground.
Gold is natural hydrogen.
Just like the discovery in Mali. 2012, which I think is powering almost the entire country. I just made that up. But that it is powering a significant amount of them, that they have naturally free-flowing hydrogen that's just coming up with no dissipation of pressure. It has just been flowing out of there. Recently, 200 tons per annum discovery in Albania. I'm not going to try and name the town. Hello to our Albanian listeners if you're out there as well. I look forward to getting out there. But, yeah, so a huge discovery that's in Albania. The US Geological Survey just came out this week with it's an unpublished paper, but they're sort of leaking it to the market, saying that it's always been believed that hydrogen was not freely flowing or freely available close to the surface, difficult to find. However, it seems like recent studies have changed the ideas of that, and they now estimate, and I want to get these numbers right, most hydrogen, there's 5 trillion tons of hydrogen existing underground, according to the USGS. Quote from the person that led the study, most hydrogen is likely inaccessible, but a few percent recovery would still supply all projected demand, 500 million tons a year, for hundreds of years. So there is now enough, according to the USGS, and who am I to argue with those guys? There's now enough, apparently, there's enough hydrogen that it is free-flowing and easily accessible, easily being a relative term, easily accessible to be able to power the hydrogen industry for many lifetimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's exciting. I would say before you go out with your drill and your picks and your shovels to try and get the hydrogen out, that look, it's going to take some time to develop the natural hydrogen industry as well. And then hydrogen's a completely different molecule to, say, methane, natural gas, that sort of thing. It's a lot lighter. There are different sort of chemical elements to it. So there will be a need to develop the technology as well in order to safely tap this.
Because
hydrogen is a greenhouse gas as well. The thing about hydrogen, though, is it can escape the atmosphere eventually. So we do need to be mindful about excessive expulsion of hydrogen into the atmosphere.
Well, just that I'm aware of time and being given the wrap-up note from our head of marketing here as well, and fantastic job.
Producer, Amit.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But that would do. So we're okay. So free-flowing hydrogen, yes, aware of the impacts. From an investment case, where does that put the market in this area?
I think for the hydrogen industry to fulfill its potential, we need to focus on supply. We need cheap and reliable supply, and that will enable the end use cases. The technology exists. You can buy a hydrogen car today.
Yep.
If you wanted to, Hyundai, Toyota both supply vehicles.
Yep. And a Toyota Mirai might be the next vehicle I get.
We'll name drop H2X Global, Barclay Pierce client, who is innovating in the light commercial vehicle front. So they have the world's first all-wheel drive hydrogen ute.
Yep. Warrego.
Yeah. So, you know, all these use cases are there on the sidelines. They're waiting for reliable, cheap supply of hydrogen.
You get reliable supply, you're going to get user take up, and then you're going to get more popularity, and then it just is a free flowing thing, and the dog chases its tail to heaven.
Exactly. And the ecosystem starts. So, I would be doing everything that I can in order to enable the supply. So, looking at green hydrogen producers via electrolysis, also supporting the natural hydrogen users. So, there are a number of stocks on the ASX in which you can invest into.
Yep.
We're not going to provide any investment advice there, but if you look into it, there are stocks that you can support in order to gain financial leverage to the hydrogen phenomenon.
Easy. Well, I hope that has helped fill in a lot of the gaps that people may have had and have helped with a few investment ideas that you've got as well. If you want to have any more information, get any more information from myself or Jack, please reach out on the links that are going to be provided. But it's been a pleasure bringing this special case on hydrogen to you. My name is James Whelan. I've been joined by Jack Colreevy. Thank you so much for joining us, and have yourself a good day.